I had told him that I could get a man that wouldn't charge me too much. He would come and cut these limbs back and clean up the yard for me. And I could not do it because I can't cut limbs with my hip like it was. So right after he went to the hospital, I called the neighbor that told me about this man, and I told him to tell him to come down to cut the limbs. He had many more come here to start the cut, so somebody went up to talk to Roy and said, "Well, your old wife has got a man there already." Well, you know, that kind of hits kind of the wrong way. So then when I went up that evening to see him, he said, "Who in the name of sense you got stuck around there now?" I said, "You know who I was getting." I said, "I told you before you come to the hospital who I was getting." He said, "Well, what's he doing?" I said, "Well, he's doing exactly what I told you he was doing." I said, "He's cutting the limbs back." And I said, "He did a pretty good job." And I said, "He's a wino." But I said, "That don't bother me." And I said, "I gave him the money, whatever he thought I ought to give him." And I said, "That was all it was to it." But just things like that, that kind of hurt. He wasn't here to see. Well, then another time, he was home. And we had this guy to come in, I think to paint the room or something in his bedroom. And he started in to tell this guy, "Oh, how to do this and how to do that." No, the guy started in to tell Roy, "Oh, he ought to do this." And he started in to tell me that too. "I ought to do this and I ought to do that." I says, "I do what I want to do. Nobody tells me what to do." So then he started sitting on Roy. Roy got so mad he ordered him out of the house. So that's the last I ever saw him. I think he's dead now. And then his son came and painted the rest of the rooms for me. Oh, God. But you know, undoubtedly, he must have been awful jealous or something, because why does people say things to anybody? Now, they would say things to me, but I would let it go in one way or another. I could cause trouble for a lot of the things they said to me, but I never let it faze me that way. And I'm glad now that I never did, because I come out way ahead this way. Otherwise, I really would have had trouble. If I'd have listened to everything what people told me, why, we'd have had plenty of trouble. But I don't listen to people. I used to say, at first, when they'd tell me things, I said, "Well, maybe that's true, maybe it isn't." But I said, "If he commits a sin, he's going to pay, when he goes to judgment, he's going to pay his price. Now, I'm not going to pay it for him." That was the way I answered him. Well, that's the only way I knew what to say. And I think I did pretty good on coming back at him like that. Now, I didn't go around and tell people about their spouses or spouses, whatever you want to call it. I didn't tell them about things that I could have told them about, especially this one across the street. I could have told her many a thing, but I didn't, because I don't believe in that. Why should I? Let them run their own business. That's what I feel about it. But I want to run mine. I want to run my own.
What did you do with your time after Roy was gone?
Well, at that time, I think I had the TV. And I had the TV or radio. And I went to radio programs a lot up to Hollywood. And I visited the family. And I was always going every day. I know someone said, "You never do stay home, Bowman." He said, "Why don't you stay home?" I said, "I pay for my gasoline. Why can't I go when I want to?" And I was going about every day, doing this and doing that, just to go places, you know, see things. I like to go see different things. That's the way I spent my time. I read a little bit, but I never read too much. I never read very much, but then I got, when the soap operas come on, I was a fiend on soap operas all the time. I could hardly wait for the next day and see what's going to happen to the soap operas. That got to be kind of old, too. Some of that's nuts, too, you know, but some of it's good. I don't mind it. And I like the music, and I like, on Sunday morning, I listen to the church or the ministers, you know. I know one of the friends that wrote to me the other day wanted to know if I'd ever been out to the Glass Cathedral, out to Shuler's. I've never been there, but I've heard him on TV, and Roberts on TV, and different ones that way I hear on TV, and I think I've spent my time pretty good that way. Been here, a few months ago, then I would go to races or something like that. I used to go more than I do now, because I don't have the money to spare, because I have to pay my own debts, and I've got to keep out of debt. But I would go to the races. And then not too often ago, I got started reading these, The Star and The Inquirer and all that. I've been reading a lot of them because my sister's given me a lot of them. My daughter's given me, or my granddaughter gave me a lot of them. So I've been reading a lot of those. But to sit down and read a book, I don't read much anymore. And I read the Bible sometimes. I can read the Bible anytime I want to. Now that's the way I spent my time.
When did you get involved in the club?
Queen for Day?
The Queen for Day Club.
They started in 45. And they, when they started, I would go up to the club. Then they went along for quite a while with the club, and then they kind of split up. So we didn't have a club then for a long time. And I forget what year they started in again. And then from that time on, we've had it about every month then.
And are you still involved with them?
Oh, yeah. I'm a historian. And that's why I have those pictures, you know, that they give me. I don't pay for the pictures. I have some other girls give me the pictures, because why should I pay for them? They want me to be a historian, so I pick up what little things I can pick up, and when I'm done with the album, somebody else can have it. But my name is on Sacramento on the charter. And one of the other girls is, but we're the only two. There's another girl, but I forget what her name is, and I don't know who she is or where she is. And we're the only three that's on that charter. You see, what happened, when we had our club going, then some of them got sore because they didn't get to be the officials. Well, to me, I never cared whether I was ever official or not, which is good for me, because I didn't give a care. But they used to fight over it and everything else. Well, anyway, then they started another club. They couldn't take our name, Queen for a Day, because that's one thing I wouldn't let them do. But they tried their best. The deity tried us to go back together, and they said, well, change the name. I said, they'll never change the name as long as I'm living. When I'm dead, whatever they want to do, it's okay with me. But I want that Queen for a Day name. Well, the other club had to use Queen. Well, they went to work and got a charter, but they had to put Queen on. They could not use Queen for a Day because we still had our club. And my name was on our charter then when we got the charter on our club. But it was funny, though. And now we're getting new queens. We're having a little difficulty about the same old thing. It's funny. I used to laugh at how silly some of them were. And over money. You see, money causes a lot of trouble, too. But Clarabelle has been our president for years and years. I said, well, let her have the honor. I said, when anybody else was put in president, she figured they didn't do enough for the club, and she's always done so much for the club, but really, she shouldn't have took over when somebody else was put in, but she's always has, so I said, let's put her in every day, every year, so we put her in all this time.
What kind of activities?
We have a raffle, and we make money off of the raffle, and if we want to take gifts, why, that goes into the raffle. And then we pay whatever we want to pay for the menu. And we go out here to Hubert's now. Next month, we go to Hubert's. We don't pay for the parking. And then they're going to, one of the girls, I believe, is going to give a quilt or something for us to raffle off. Now, a lot of times we have a big raffle. And a lot of, now, Clarabelle's always been good. She'd go to the storekeepers, and they've always given her, big chairs and tables and things like that. I can't go out and ask for things like that. And she thinks we all ought to be able to. I can't, but she knew a lot of these people in Englewood, and they've all helped her that way. Well, that's wonderful, because they make a lot of money that way.
Then what happens with the money?
We give that all to the Children's Hospital. It all goes to the Children's Hospital. Well, now the girl that sends out these journals, she's going to put in to pay for the stamps, so they might have to pay for the stamps. I said, I'll send you a book of stamps, so you won't have to put so much in. But she said, no, she said, take it out. But I don't want them to take much out of the treasury, because that money is supposed to pay to go to the Children's Hospital. And we've always paid so much to Children's Hospital. I think the least every year was about $400. It's always been that or more. Long time ago, when we had Jews and a lot of people that was very well-to-do in our club, one year we gave 7 wheelchairs to the Los Amigos Rancho Hospital. That was $100 a chair. And we've given them TVs. And we go out there at Christmas time and give them a little gift of some kind that was worth something. Our club did that a long time ago, but not anymore. All we never give them money. We've always give them gifts at the Los Amigos National Hospital. But at the Children's Hospital, it's always been the money. Whatever we make during the year, we give that. So we made $125 the other day at this Mercury savings and loan company that we met, and they said in our journal, 61 there. So we paid $2 each that day, but everything was supposed to go for the Children's Hospital. So we made $125. They said that goes with, I think they said they had about $600 at that time. So that goes with that. But that all goes, now before, it was supposed to go for children's braces. And it was $100 brace or whatever it was, but that's what we brought before. But then the last couple of times they said they have enough braces now that we want to use the fund for other things. And the Children's Hospital has been kind of financially hurting too. So whatever we make, that's what we give to the hospital, which I think is a wonderful project.
Juanita, what was menopause like for you?
Well, I never had too much trouble with menopause. I just went through it just like I did the beginning, you know. And I was sick, though, for some time. Now, that might have been why I was sick, to go through the menopause. But I never had too awful much trouble with menopause that way. So.
What were you sick with?
Huh?
You said you were sick for a time.
Well, it must have been this arthritis. And when I carried Marilyn, they'd help me up off to the van or the bed, and then I'd help get breakfast or whatever we had to do. We got all the work done. We put food and water, milk. And then we'd use a bedpan if I had to, because I couldn't get up by myself. They even had to put my feet on the ground or else lift my head up before I could get up off of the van.
Was that
before
she was born?
No, that was before. I was that way for, I would say 7 or more months. I was that way most of the time. But undoubtedly, it must have been arthritis is what done it then. At that time, I didn't know. I didn't know what caused it. And then I had those awful sick headaches for a long, long time. I don't know what you call that. But I'd get a meal ready, and I couldn't eat. I'd have to go to bed and sleep it off. And then the next morning, I'd be all right. And I don't know what they always call it, some kind of headaches. I forget what it was. Now, that might have been going through the menopause. I don't know. But that's what I had to go through with. Then after she was born then, she had the whooping cough so bad, and she had strep throat so bad. And Roy had so much asthma and so much sinus trouble, that's why I wanted to go west. I wanted to go another climate to get out of that climate back there. And that's why that I was lucky to insist, to persuade him to get out of there. I didn't think I ever could, but I was lucky too, because I was afraid he was going to lose Marilyn, is what I was afraid of.
And were you sick after she was born?
Not so much after that. I was sick more before, but after she was born, then I wasn't too sick. Then the children always helped me take care of them, and they were so thrilled to get to help take care of their little baby sister. But that was when I had Marilyn, when Lowell decided to be a doctor and Eileen decided to be a nurse, and I wrote to Washington, D.C. and got books and told them to read anything they could read on it. And we never knew whether they'd ever get to be, because it cost a lot of money to go through those colleges. Lowell went through 3 colleges. He went to the City College up here, and then he went to Berkeley 4 years, and then he went to another college back in the L.A. General Hospital in L.A., 1200 North Main or 1200 something. And that building was torn down. At that time, that when he graduated, I donated my body to that hospital. But then that hospital went out of business, so it's not there anymore. And then now I have a donation on my driver's license that any of my organs are okay, it can be donated. And then my body is supposed to be cremated and be buried up in Ventura, like we decided on. The 3 girls and I decided last fall and all. That's where my sister cremated. She was cremated and buried up there. I said they could put my ashes and throw them in the ocean because it'd be cheaper, because it says, they give me a list of how much it costs to be buried, any way I'd be buried. And I said, why pay all that out? I said, why not just throw my ashes in the ocean? Now, she threw her husband's ashes in the ocean, and it don't cost you quite as much as the best to have them to dig in the ground in a box and bury it. And I still just wish it would, but then my daughter, Ella's daughter, she said, Mom, she said, well, I thought the others wanted. I said, yes, it's me. I said, why can't I have what I wanted? And but Roy was, he donated his body completely, and Sally donated her body. She said there's no use. Now, we didn't get paid for either one of the bodies, but they used their bodies. See, Lowell learned on bodies, and at that time, they'd get these, maybe these winos or these people that didn't have families, that's where they got some of their bodies. In fact, sometimes I think long years ago, they used to they dug them out of the grave. They'd take a long hook at the top of the grave And they'd put that under the chin, and they'd pull that body out. That's the way I was told. And there was one woman who was buried one time, that the next day, her grave sunk about that much, and we always figured that her body was taken, but the folks, some of the folks didn't want to find out. We would dug it up, but I helped Pop dig up the grave. And we'd have dug it up to find out, but some of the family said, no, if she was gone, they didn't want to know it. Another said, yes, we want to find out. I said, well, if it was me, I'd want to find out, too. But I used to help my father dig graves. And one time we dug into a grave. We didn't know it was a grave there. It must have been put in there long years ago. Well, when we hit, supposed to have been in the outside box, you know, usually they put it in a box outside the coffin. Well, the box had rotted away. When we lifted that coffin up, those skeletons all went into fine silk, just like salt and pepper. It looked like salt and pepper. And you pick that up, it was the finest thing. Now, if you go out and see where a bone is buried by a dog, you can find out how silk that feels. Well, that just all went down. So the only thing we could do is dig another grave and pick all that stuff up and put it in another grave, because they had no right to that grave. They must have been buried long years ago, but somebody had paid for that lot. Well, maybe they wasn't supposed to pay for it, but then they had the lot for sale, so they...
That was one of his jobs?
Huh?
One of your father's jobs was to dig graves?
He was called a sexton. He took care of the church and the graveyard. Pulled the graveyard and took care of the graves. And anybody was buried, well, he'd get somebody sometimes to help dig, but I'd go out and help dig. And that never bothered me, really. The only thing was, I never touched a dead body till one time. I'd never seen anybody die. I never wanted to see anybody die. And I never had touched a dead body till one of my neighbor's little boy had died. And his father called me into the room where the baby had laid, and he said, Juanita, I want you to touch her, that boy. I said, no, I don't want to touch him. He said, you touch him and you'll never be afraid of a dead body. So I went over and I touched him. Well, it was just cold, that was all it was. This flesh was cold. And after that, I never was afraid. But he told me, he said, you'll be afraid if you don't ever touch one. Well, I touched it, and that, from that time on, and I never was afraid. And, you know, I think that's pretty good experience, you know, something like that. But I had never thought of it before.
Juanita, what are your feelings about the women's movement today?
I'm not for the ERA. I am very much for the energy. When you do the work, the same type of work a man does, you should be paid the same. I've always said that, and I always will. But I don't go for so much of the ERA, because I like for a man to do things for me, and I'm afraid it's going to split that idea of men for protecting the women and helping the women. And I think they should continue to help. And also, I still think that the women will have to go to war, because other countries set them in war, and I think ours will too. We had women in the war before. My sister was within 10 miles from 1 mile from the front line, out in the field as a nurse. So they've been in the wars too. But no, I'm not for the ERA. In fact, I don't understand too much about it anyway. Why should we? The ones that seem to want it, I don't know. They said even Gerald Ford was wanting it, but I'm not for it. Are you for it?
Mm-hmm.
You are. I'm not, because, well, like I say, I like for a man to be, in a way, to be the head of the household. Although I was independent, maybe my husband never got to be quite the head that some people like for him to be. But anyhow, I depended on him as a head of the household. And I depended on him to work and help make a living.
What about the new roles that women are taking on today?
And
new opportunities for young girls growing up that weren't there when you were growing up?
Well, we never had the chance to be very much. And teachers and nurses is about the main thing that we ever had a chance to be. But they said that women couldn't do the work of men, but at the Douglas, they did the work of men. They'd done any kind of work there was to do. The main thing was, if too much lifting is not good for a woman, because she is not made quite as strong as a man. But if it's not too much lifting, well, she can do the work. And look how we worked on the farm. We got out and we did all kinds of work. I mowed hay in the hay mow. That was hot work. I shucked wheat. I shucked corn. And I raised cane. You get up and you pull those leaves off of cane, and boy, that's the most sickening thing I ever done. It's so sickening to raise your head up and pull those leaves down, up and down, up and down. Now, that was the worst thing I ever done on a farm. Then we take the cane, the stalks to the mill to have them down and disarm them. But, no, we worked on a farm. Most of the farm women always, most of them always got out and worked. There were some that never did. I don't know, I often thought maybe they, the men thought more than they did. We got out and helped. I helped dig fence posts. I helped put a cellar under the house. Helped to dig a cistern clear out, you know, about as far as from here, clear across the road. You start at the house and go way down deep, you know. I have to do all that. I never objected to work like that. But I objected to the way the people treated me, though. That is, especially the in-laws, the way they did with him. They made fun of him. I don't know why they did it, because it hurt him, I reckon. And that was the only thing that made it hard for me. I didn't know how to cope with it, and I did the best I could. So,
what was the happiest time in your life?
Well, I was thrilled when I got married, because that was an experience. And I was so thrilled when my baby, when the first baby cried, all that. You can't explain unless you go through that yourself. That's one of the most experienced things that I think a person can ever go through. It's something that you have helped to create, and it's the most, well, I don't know, you might say you go through the shadow of death to bring him into the world. You almost die to bring him into the world. And then when that baby cried, the first thing I asked her, was she all right? I always ask with all my children, was they all right? And but those cries were most thrilling. I just can't explain it. You have to go through that experience yourself. And anybody who never did, they don't know what that experience is. And then the other time was when I was clean for a day. It was an experience that I'll never forget. Those three experiences really about as most exciting, or they were new. They were all new experiences. And yet my childhood wasn't such a bad childhood. I enjoyed my childhood because I played at the lake and I'd do things around the lake. I took care of the boats, and in the wintertime they'd put the ice in the ice box, and I'd go up in the ice house and get ice to pay for people. And I waited on people, I worked in the store, and I drove the husky wagon. I enjoyed those things. I enjoyed the work that I did. And why anybody would go against me for working like I did, I never could understand why. Because his people worked hard, his sister get out in the fields and worked hard. But it was a different thing. They'd say anything to him. Why? I know when he was about ready to die, I didn't realize it, but he was kind of explaining some things, you know. He resented me carrying water out to the men out in the field. Now, I think he was jealous, is why. Well, I wasn't after the men. But I enjoyed taking them fresh water to them to drink, and I still to this day don't see why that made a difference with him. I said, well, if I'd had it done over, I'd probably do the same thing over. I didn't care what anybody said. That's what I'd be. But I didn't mind carrying the jug of water. I always liked to be with my husband. Now, maybe that was another thing, too. If he was working over his folks, well, I'd like to be up there with him, too. And if he worked at home, I'd go out in the field and work, you know, help build fence posts, help put up fence. And all of that. I raised about 200 chickens in the house one time. And all of them thought I was crazy and everything else. Well, where else could I raise them? We had two rooms upstairs we didn't use. Now, the boy used the first room, right, just above the stairway. And the other two rooms weren't used, so we got papers. And we was lucky to have electricity then, so we wired electricity all down kind of low where they get warm. And then he made me some real nice wooden all things to put the food in. And then I'd get those quart cans that you screw a lid on that the water would run out around. And I raised those 200 chickens up there, upstairs. And all some of them thought that was the awful thing I ever done. And I got it. I was trying to make a living. But I raised them anyhow. Did I tell you about going out to the woods after the other side?
Yeah.
Had, boy, boy.
What was the most unhappy time for you?
Well, it was our trouble. It was our trouble. That hurt. That hurt me as much as anything ever did. Because I realized it was hurting him, and people were causing trouble for both of us. It was hurting both of us. And I felt bad over that. Now, that was the most unhappy time that I think I ever went through. And I wouldn't have if the other people kept their nose out. That's all the difference. That's the whole thing. But that was an unhappy time, because I didn't know what I was going to do with the children. I couldn't work. Couldn't get out and work at that time, because that was in about 38, and there wasn't jobs for women at that time. And I couldn't go away from home anyway to work. And then if I'd went back to teaching school, I'd had to leave my children going back to college for about 10 weeks. And then paid back a fund that we had paid into a fund, but they paid me back most of the fund when I quit teaching. And I'd had to pay all that back, and some of the people went back to teaching. But that's why I didn't go back to teaching. Instead of taking 10 weeks training, I'd had to go away from home and pay somebody to stay with the family and go to college. And then that's why I took the 10 weeks on government free at the high school. And I hitchhiked into the high school to get that training.
That was just before you moved out here.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That was that national, whatever it was, national training on the machines. So that was free. That was free by the government. And
what do you think about when you think about the future?
Well, I don't know what to think. The best way I can look is just be prepared when time comes for me to go and to live from one day to another. I hardly know what to say. I have the plot up there where I can be buried, and the kids know where it's to be. And I just be as happy as I can from day to day, and try to do right all the time. And outside of that, I don't know what to think about the future, because I don't go back to college, and I don't take in any classes, you know, or anything that way, and I don't study much. I don't like to study at all. And I just live from day to day like I've been doing. That's about the best I can tell you right now. I have no future otherwise to look forward to. And I go to races once in a great holiday. I can't go to them very often because I pay my bills and I don't have too much money to spare. And I've been wanting to put some money in the bank. I think maybe this coming week I'll be able to put a little in the bank. And yet I got to have my wheelchair worked on, and now it cost me a whole lot. The last time I had to pay about $100 or $150 to get it taken care of before, so that's going to take about all my money this time. So if it is one thing, it's two. But I can make out, because any time comes up, now like any insurance or taxes or anything, and if I don't have the money, I know the children will help me to get by that until I can pay them back. I don't have to worry on that score, because I have a nice family, and they'll help me anytime I need help. But I don't like to ask them for help unless I have to. Now, they can help me with the housework or things like that, or get my groceries or things like that, but I need to give me money or anything, because I try to do on my own. And I think they appreciate me trying as much as I can to do on my own. And that's about my main future, I guess. I don't see anything else that's going to be so bright. I can't be a millionaire, so I don't worry about that. Oh, in the paper said one time, a man said he'd have to give his wife credit for being a millionaire. He said she was always wanting something, all the time. He worked and worked, tried to get everything she wanted, and he'd become a millionaire, and he said he'd have to give her credit. So when Roy was telling me, he was sorry he didn't get to use a lot of things in life. So I said to him, I said, well, Pop, I tried to make you a millionaire, but I said I just wasn't successful. Because he had to laugh over that, because he knew what I was talking about from what was said in the paper, you know, because we just talked about it before. But he said there's a lot of things that he'd wanted to do, too. I said, well, Pop, there's a lot of things I'd like to have done, too, down through the years, never got to either. But I said, they're not going to bother me. I said, I'm going to do the same as I've been doing, live the same I've been a living. And I said, that's all I can do. He said, oh, yes, I know you will. And that's the way he answered it. So that made me feel better, too. But I didn't realize that he was dying, before very long he would die. And that's why I suppose he was trying to get a lot off his chest, you know. But he never wanted to give me credit for anything I ever done. Well, I'm a type that I don't have to have credit. Now, someone has to have credit, and I have to baby around and everything, and have to be told this and that. I never had to, because I think that's one reason I got by as well as I did, because I didn't care whether I got credit for what I'd done. The idea was is what results of what I did. I said I tried to do the best to rear up my children, and I did most of it myself. And the results of it, I am proud of what they turned out to be. And that's the way I feel. So I think I'm a happy-go-lucky person, regardless what happens to me or with sickness or anything, because we all go through sickness to a certain extent, and we all go through death. See, I don't want to die as far as that's concerned, but then I know we have to sooner or later. But that kind of hit me a little bit more, so when Mary told me about 90, you know, because that's where I would be buried, next near her. And that kind of hit me, too, different than I had ever thought much about, because I never thought too much about dying, because I always said, oh, I'd better come and throw my ashes away. And never thought too much about it. But when you come right down to it and think about it, it does mean something. But I thought to myself, well, why worry? There's no use to worry, because that's something that I seldom ever do, is worry about things. But I was concerned over my hands, because I was leery for fear I might have a stroke. My brother having a stroke with one hand going bad, I don't know what happened to his hand, but when my hands, both of them, began to go bad, then I got leery about, gee, if I have a stroke, then my future wouldn't be very good either. Now, but I can't worry about what might or might not happen, because maybe I never have. So I'm not going to worry about it. I take the medicine and do the best I can, and try to do without salt and things the doctor told me, and that's the best I can do. But as far as anything else in the future, I don't see much. Did I tell you my step-grandchildren took me to the old church there Sunday, and to a Hawaiian luau?